Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
It's The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Thanks for being here on this Friday that's almost 1 year to the day of President Trump's inauguration. The government is now headed toward a possible shutdown at midnight tonight. House Republicans reached a deal last night between Freedom Caucus conservatives in leadership that let them overcome intra-party warfare, at least for now, and pass a bill to keep the government open for just another month.
The only people standing in the way of keeping the government open are Senate Democrats. Whether there is a government shutdown or not is now entirely up to them. I also want people to understand that Senate Democrats do not oppose anything that is in this bill. They're just holding this critical funding hostage for a deal on a completely unrelated immigration issue.
House Speaker Paul Ryan there putting pressure on Senate Democrats and taking some credit for a House that just managed the bare minimum of governance. We'll be talking about how shutdowns affect the military in just a minute. But in the Senate, a different story.
Our current CR expires 19 January. This is wasteful and destructive. We should not delay any further.
These talks have been going on endlessly. Many of you have not been involved in them. We're exhausted.
Kicks the can down the road.
Shoehorn that issue right into it.
The only person who's ever rooted for a shutdown, frankly, is our president, who said our country could use a good shutdown.
Why did they never let us reach an agreement? Illegal immigration.
Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell there. Chuck and Mitch and the recriminations of a Senate in a showdown. Mitch McConnell needs 60 votes to keep the government running for another month. Schumer and the Democrats have some leverage here, and they want a promised fix to the DACA program for young undocumented immigrants that President Trump is ending in March. Won't forget about 60 votes. Mitch McConnell doesn't even have 50 Republicans right now to keep the government open. Where's President Trump, the dealmaker, as Congress looks for direction and a presidential signature? He's scheduled to be in Florida this evening at his Mar-a-Lago Country Club. A $100,000 per plate fundraiser is on the menu there. Well, in a shutdown fight, and we've had a few of these in recent years of dysfunction, blame is the ugly little name of the game. A shutdown, you've heard, would be devastating to the troops.
Our men and women in uniform need our help. They need these resources so they can do their jobs and do it safely.
We have a military we have to fund.
The president certainly doesn't want to shut down. And if one happens, I think you only have one place to look, and that's to the Democrats who are holding our military and our national security hostage.
We cannot shut down our military and put this nation at risk.
GOP voices there who are the ones arguing in this case that in the battle to fund the government, it's the military that pays the price. Well, how does the military function when the dysfunction in Washington grinds government to a halt? We asked Joe Gould. He's a Capitol Hill reporter for Defense News.
Troops who are considered contract employees are still going to show up. Overseas operations are going to continue. It is incredibly disruptive. I talked to lawmakers from Virginia and Maryland who represent the suburbs around Washington, D.C., contractors, civilians. There are tons of government civilians working in the Pentagon and elsewhere. It would be pretty disruptive for them. There's already work going on to make sure that they're paid retroactively. I don't think that that's a tough sell in Congress to make sure that troops are paid, to make sure that federal government civilians are paid over this period. You know, separate from the kind of day-to-day effect on the troops that a shutdown might have, I think there's kind of the larger argument on military spending. And I think that's what Republicans here are using as a cudgel against Democrats. So there are the immigration debate has kind of entangled federal spending for the defense and non-defense sides of the budget. Republicans have consistently over the last few years argued for raising defense spending. Democrats have insisted that the non-defense side of the budget be raised in equal part. That's a problem for Republicans because, you know, fiscal conservatives in their own party don't want to see domestic spending increased. But one thing that Republicans who are, you know, are somewhat fractured can all rally around is increased military spending. And the Pentagon says that it really needs it. There's been some struggles with troop readiness. You see the Pentagon and also lawmakers who are concerned about defense saying there are planes that don't fly, ships that don't sail, brigade combat teams that are not ready for combat. And then finally, you have a president who campaigned on rebuilding the military. Well, that's tough to do for a number of reasons, but I think that the Republicans, if they're going to do it, they're going to have to make the case. Mm. And I think that's some of what we were seeing this week from Capitol Hill Republicans.
So, Joe, one part of this whole spending debate that people like Defense Secretary James Mattis hate is the idea of the continuing resolution. They call it the CR. Basically, it's the spending patch. So how does this continual, you know, inability of Congress to get a year-long or a two-year-long spending deal and just go month to month to 3 months to 1 month affect Mattis's ability to plan for the military or run a ship over there?
Oh, they hate it. The Pentagon hates continuing resolutions. I mean, you could argue that for the past several years, Congress has not passed the budget on time. The fiscal year starts September 30th. We're nearly 4 months past that point. So we've used a series of patches to get here. I mean, if you could imagine what it would be like to work in any kind of business, any kind of corporation, if you had to plan several months at a time, you didn't know what was going to happen, you know, with your budget for the entire year, it would make life very difficult. Take that and apply it to the military, which is a gigantic organization. The practically speaking, a continuing resolution keeps spending going at the previous year's level. So they can't start new acquisitions programs, for one thing. And they've said that it's incredibly disruptive.
Anybody trying to run a government agency hates a continuing resolution. Jim Mattis hates it. Francis Collins, director of the NIH, was on this show yesterday. He said he hates it too.
Yeah, Jim Mattis, actually, the defense secretary, came to the Hill about a week or so ago and really said to lawmakers, you know, I understand that you want to deal with parity for non-defense spending, but what I can't stomach is the budget instability. It's complicating things. We've seen lawmakers who are pro-defense say that they cannot vote for the continuing resolution because of the damage that it inflicts on the military. The Armed Services Sea Power chairman in the House, Rob Whitman, Lindsey Graham is another one. They said we can't vote for a CR because of the instability. And they're saying, really, you know, if Congress buys another 30 days, what's going to be different? They don't want to vote for a CR unless leadership, Democratic and Republican leadership, can say, we have a deal in hand. In that case, they'll vote for a short CR just to give lawmakers time to, you know, flesh out what appropriations are going to be for the year.
Whether it's disruptive, whether it's devastating, might depend on what kind of debate you're trying to have on Capitol Hill as Congress barrels towards a shutdown. Joe Gould, Capitol Hill reporter for Defense News. Thanks for being here, Joe.
Thank you.